today on Jeff's Podcast.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining me today for the podcast. I hope you had a blessed holiday season with your family over the Thanksgiving week. Hope you didn't spend too much money Black Friday shopping. I want to share with you today something that's been burning in my spirit for the last couple of weeks. I want to talk to you about labels. What labels are you carrying? What are you answering to when people call you? It's very important. This is important because I believe in divine destiny. I believe that God is calling us, has called us, has created us for a divine purpose, and we are what He says we are. Sometimes, though, we allow people to place labels on us. Sometimes we place labels on ourselves, and we begin to conform to that label. Let me explain to you what I mean. I remember as a boy, my grandpa used to have this tin coffee can in his garage on the workbench shelf. That coffee can had the brand name of the coffee that it was intended to contain. However, that can did not have coffee in it. It had nuts and bolts and different things in the can. It did not contain what it said it contained. It was not being used for its original purpose. It was being used to contain something else. It fit, it worked, but it wasn't what the can was manufactured for. It was manufactured to hold coffee grounds, but it did not hold that coffee. It held nuts and bolts and screws and different things of that nature. And on the outside of the can, in magic marker, was written what was in that can. Some of you, as you think about that analogy for a moment, some of you are not containing what you were created to contain. Some of you have allowed others to magic marker a label on your life, and you are not being used for your intended purpose. You've allowed others to write something on you that you don't have to own. You have been labeled by someone else. I want you to know something very specific. Others are not in charge of your label. It is your life, and you are in charge of the label. The dilemma that you and I face is hearing the voice of God and knowing what He has called us, what He has labeled us, when everyone else around us seems so intent on putting their label on us. Sometimes we're labeled by outward appearance, we're labeled by talent or lack thereof, we're labeled by where we live, what we do, who we surround ourselves, we're labeled by our environment, our atmosphere. We can be labeled by our mistakes and our failures and the things that are in our past. So many labels. You can't carry all of those labels, because when you carry labels that you were not meant to carry, you will by default begin to conform to those labels. You tell a child for so long that he's a failure, he'll begin to believe he's a failure and he will conform to that label. You tell someone they're unworthy of blessing long enough, they'll eventually grab hold of that, and they'll begin to believe that they're not worthy of the blessing of God, and they will conform to that label. Take a dog, for instance. Many of you have pets. You have a dog. I've got a German Shepherd. He's a big baby. He's 90 pounds. We have been calling him by a name since he came home when he was, I don't know, about 9 weeks old. His name is Taser. And he answers to that name on command. If we somehow decided to change his name and call him something else, he would not answer to that. Now, that's the problem when you allow people to label you. When you begin to carry things and dwell on things and bear the burden of things that God never intended for you to bear, when God does call you what you are, what He made you to be, what He created you to be, you don't hear it and you don't answer to what God has called you, because you are bearing the marks of an unfair label. I want you to think about this. It's your life. It's your label. I heard somebody say once, it's not what they call you, it's what you answer to. It's very, very true. What are you answering to today? Are you answering to your failures? Are you answering to your mistakes? Are you answering to your flaws? Are you answering to your past? Are you answering to what well-meaning people think you are? Or are you answering to what God has created you to be? It's your life and it's your label. You are responsible for the label. Think about this for a moment. I look in Scripture to Numbers chapter 13, and I read the story of Moses as he sends the spies, 12 of them, into the Canaan land to spy out the land and come back and give a report. What we don't see sometimes when we reference this passage or read this passage is that it was just not some overnight mission that they would come back the next morning. This was a 40-day mission. They walked among and lived among the inhabitants of Canaan for 40 days. They were spies. And they were given directions by Moses to spy out the land, find out how big the cities are. Are they fortified? How are they fortified? Get a lay of the land, look at the fruit, eat the fruit, bring back some of the fruit, live there for 40 days, and then come back and report what you see. The Bible says in Numbers 13, when they came back after 40 days, that they brought with them some of the fruit. They brought the grapes and the pomegranates and the figs back from the promised land to show, yes, we've been there. We've seen the fruit. We have enjoyed what is there. We've seen the cities. They are well fortified. And most of them had formed an opinion that they were unable to take the land. In fact, they said, this land will devour us. And listen to what they said. They said, there is fruit there. There is fortified cities there, but it's the people. It's the people they zeroed in on. The sons of Anak are there. The sons of Anak were simply, it was a reference to a group or a race of people that were unnaturally and unusually tall and strong. They were said to be giants. Anak was a large, tall, strong human being. And so to be the inhabitants or the descendants of Anak, the sons of Anak, that was a reference to people who were taller and stronger than anybody else. And the spies said, we cannot go take this land because the sons of Anak are there. The people there are stronger than we are. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so were we in their sight. That's one of my favorite lines in this whole passage, because those spies, a majority of them, had labeled themselves as failures. They had labeled themselves, and what they labeled themselves was how the enemy saw them. Do you know that when you label yourself unfairly and you believe that label, the enemy will see that label on you? We were in our own sights as grasshoppers, and so were we in their sight. It's a label that they placed on themselves based upon what they saw as their opposition. You may see something in front of you that God's promised you and may feel like those spies. I'm not able to take that because the opposition is stronger, the opposition is greater, and the opposition sees me as less than I am. But Caleb stood up and said, wait a second. We have to take the land and do it now, for we are well able to overcome the land. You have to be like Caleb. You have to be strong enough in yourself and know yourself that even if somebody else puts a label on you, even if someone else sees you as a grasshopper in comparison to the task and the mission that is in front of you, you know enough who you are and you know what God's created you to be and you know what your label is. And you can say, regardless of what opposition is in front of me, regardless of what wall, what mountain, what river I have to cross, I am the child of God. I am able to overcome this because God promised I'd live in that Canaan land. Therefore, the sons of Anak can't stop me, and the fortified cities can't stop me. Nothing can stop me from inhabiting the land because I know what my label is. Let me take you to another story in Ruth chapter 1. Naomi has lost her husband. She has lost her two sons. She is left with two daughters-in-law, one of which goes with her back to the house of bread, Bethlehem. And when she gets there, the women know who she is. They listen, Naomi was a legend in that land. And when she comes back, the women became excited. They said, could this be Naomi? And she said, wait a second. I don't bear that label anymore. Don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara, for I am bitter. The Lord has afflicted me. He has taken away from me. Don't call me what God called me to be. Call me what I call myself. I am bitter, therefore, call me bitter. Don't call me blessed because I'm not blessed anymore. This label Naomi placed upon herself. When others were calling her blessed, she was calling herself bitter. It's a label. It's a label. What have you labeled yourself? Some of you are allowing people to oppose you and to look down on you and to be judgmental of you because of your own label, because of what you've called yourself. And just like those spies that went to Canaan and said, we were in our own sight as small as grasshoppers, and they looked upon us the same way. When you label yourself and you've convinced yourself that you are less than God called you to be, others will also see you that way. And they'll believe that about you too. But you've got to make up your mind that it's your life and it's your label. What do you want to be written on your life? Do you want to have the marks of others that are trying to write things on your life to label you for what is in your past, or label you for your weaknesses, or label you for your mountains and rivers and oppositions, and label you for your atmosphere, label you for your upbringing, label you for your economic or social status, label you because of your political persuasion, or are you going to wipe off the markings of those who are constantly wanting to mark you and label you for less than success and say, God, I'm going to be what you have labeled me. That label is inscribed on my heart, inscribed on my life, and no one can wipe it away. I want you to know that when God called you, labeled you, created you for a specific and certain divine destiny, no one can wipe that label off of you. All they can do is cover it up. You can cover it up. And here's where it gets complicated. You may say to yourself, you know what? I know what God has labeled me, but I'm an empty vessel. That's the best kind of vessel there is. God can use an empty vessel. I would rather be empty and labeled for greatness, labeled for blessing, labeled for my divine destiny. Mine's different than yours. Yours is different than others. But I would rather bear that label and be empty than to be full of other things like that coffee can on my grandpa's workbench. I don't want to be full of stuff, but labeled for greatness. I would rather be empty. I want to draw your attention to 2 Kings chapter 4. Elisha comes to the widow's house. The widow says, I don't have any oil. And what did Elisha say to her? He said, go to the neighbor's house, borrow all the empty vessels you can. Borrow not a few and bring them back. Borrow empty vessels. This intrigues me because I would venture to say, although the Bible isn't specific about it, that this woman already had empty vessels. She said, I have no oil, meaning that her own vessels are empty. But the prophet said, go borrow more. because the emptiness that you have is still not empty enough to contain the blessing that God is going to give you. Think about that for a moment. Think about the miracle in that. What if God were to say to you, I know you've got 10 empty vessels, but go borrow 10 more. Go borrow 20 more. All I'm going to have is a bunch of empty vessels. It's not about the emptiness you feel. It's about the room that has been created for the blessing of God. Oh, yes. Think about this. The scripture says in the New Testament, give and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over shall men pour into your bosom. The scripture says, Jesus declared, I will pour out a blessing that you don't have, here it is, you don't have room enough to receive. I want you to know that even though that woman had empty vessels, that widow in 2 Kings 4 had empty vessels, probably had a lot of them, the reason the prophet asked her to go borrow more and to borrow not a few, borrow as many as you can, is because the blessing that she was going to receive was so great that she would not have been able to find enough empty vessels to contain the blessing. And that's what your emptiness brings. God's going to fill you with that which is consistent with the label on your life. Do you hear me? God may have already spoken to you and labeled you and said, you know what, I'm going to make you a prophet, but you don't feel a prophet's anointing. You don't feel like you're as full of the word as you ought to be. You may not feel like you're in tune. You may feel empty. If God has called you a prophet, he's going to pour prophecy in you. God is going to fill you with that coincides with the label on your life. God may have already marked you and said, I'm going to make you a giver, but you're empty and you don't have anything to give. I'm going to bless you because of your giving. But you look at yourself and you don't have any resources. You're like, Lord, what am I supposed to give? I have nothing to give. Think about the little boy and his lunch. Jesus fed 5,000 with just enough to feed one person and picked up 12 baskets full, the disciples did afterward. God is going to fill you with what you need to be the giver he's called you to be. Whatever it is he's marked you, whatever it is he's labeled you, he will fill your vessel. And I hear God saying these words to me and to you. No matter how many empty vessels you can borrow, it will never be enough emptiness to hold the blessing that is coming. But I want you to see that in order for this woman, this widow woman in 2 Kings 4 to be blessed, she first has to be emptied. And that's a process that you and I have had to go through. We've had to go through an emptiness. It's difficult. It's hard. It doesn't make sense. It is the opposite of what we believe God is trying to do in us and what we've been asking God to do and what we've been praying and interceding and fasting for God to do is to fill us. But God said, nope, I'm going to empty you first. It's hard. Because he has to empty us of all the nuts and the bolts and the screws and the things that we have allowed our emptiness to be filled with in order that he might fill us with the substance for which he labeled us. It's up to you what you're called. Don't call yourself a grasshopper. Don't convince others that you are less than God called you to be. Don't let the enemy see you as only how you see yourself as less than God called you to be. You are in charge of your label. You may be empty, but God's called you full. You may feel dry, but God has placed the label of anointing and greatness on your life. If God's told you that he's going to give you something, he's going to do it. Don't begin writing over the label that God's already engraved in your spirit because what you're filled with doesn't match what's on the outside of your life. Label yourself and then allow God to fill it. Label yourself what God labels you. Be ready. Get prepared. The whole lesson of 2 Kings 4 and the story between Elisha and the widow woman who had no oil was to prepare herself for the blessing that was coming. If she had not gone to borrow empty vessels, then she would have not been prepared for the blessing that was coming, the miracle that was coming. God has allowed you to be empty. He's allowed you to be desolate. He's allowed you to be void of any voices around you. He's allowed you to be almost what feels like forsaken and lonely, because he is preparing you to carry the fullness of his blessing and anointing. And the only way he can do that is if he empties you. Your life, your label, it's up to you. It's up to you. Your emptiness will eventually turn into a blessing. You don't have room enough to receive. What are people calling you? If they're calling you something that's contrary to what God, what you know God has placed on your life, correct them. Correct them. As I think back over my life, the personality flaws and the mistakes and the shortcomings and my weaknesses and all of those things that we all tend to remember, there are so many labels that people have put on me. So many labels I've placed on myself. But I have come to a conclusion in all of that. I refuse to be called, to be labeled something that God has not intended. His label is engraved on my life, and no man can sponge it out. No man can delete it. No man can void it. If I will allow him to empty me of the nuts and the bolts and the screws, you know how it is. You get a container that came with the contents, but when the contents were used, you fill it with other things. Stop allowing people to fill you with something you were not created to contain. Stop letting people fill you with things that you, God, never intended for you to carry. If it's not your burden, don't carry it. If it's not your cause, don't pursue it. If it's not your mission, don't work for it. Go after what God has labeled you to go after. It's your life. It's your label. It's time to get some soap and water, and it's time to blot out all of the labels that have been written over top of your destiny and do what God has called you to do. I hope this word encouraged you today. I love you. I'm praying for you. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on the YouTube channel or Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you're listening to this or watching this. Be sure to go to my website, jeffwolf.org, and sign up for our emails. I won't wear out my welcome, I promise. Only about one a month goes out. I love you. I'm praying for you. I hope you have a great week, and I'll see you next week right here.
Thanks for tuning in today. Remember to subscribe to the podcast on any major podcast platform or Jeff's YouTube channel. For more information about this ministry, visit us at jeffwolf.org. Just released is Jeff's newest book, 10 Reasons Why. You can get it free by texting the keyword RESTORED to 833-649-1545. Message and data rates may apply. We'll see you next week. Be blessed.